Psalm 77, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. To the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord, my sore ran in the night and ceased not, my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. In Psalm 77, we have a very comforting psalm, I think. Now, it doesn't start out that way. Notice that in the title, let's go ahead and handle the title first. It is to the chief musician, which always reminds us that the Psalms are for public worship. Secondly, to Jeduthun, and we know who he is by now. We've heard that name several times. He was that chief musician that David had set in charge over the Levitical choir. And then thirdly, notice that it is the Psalm of Asaph, one of David's seers, one of his prophets. And because it was given to Jeduthun, this helps us with the temporality of it as well. We know what time in the history of Israel it was given, during the lifetime and career of Jeduthun, which was indeed during the days of David. So this is the real Asaph, not one of his offspring, or not one of that family line of the Asaphites, those Levites that were involved in the orchestral and choir worship during the standing of the temple. But notice this is Asaph himself, as we speak of the time of it being during the days of David and Jeduthun. All right, and then if you have your pen and are inclined to take some notes, you want to write down 1 Chronicles 16:41-2, First Chronicles again 25:3-6, and then in all of those passages, we hear about Jeduthun and Asaph and that Levitical choir. So this will help you to give some historical background to what is said here in the title. All right, so I have the first section. We could divide it at between verses 9 and 10, or we could include verse 10 in the first section. Either way, we have a transitional point in verse 10, don't we? So in verses 1 through 9, we have the psalmist in some kind of difficulty. He doesn't really say what that is. There is a trouble that he's undergoing. And that trouble, that affliction, notice that it keeps him awake, and it also keeps him from praying. I'm so troubled, he says, that I cannot speak, in verse 4. Every time he goes to frame some kind of prayer for what's going on, words fail him. He doesn't know what to say. He doesn't know how to frame his prayer any longer. Things are so bad. There may be times where we come into some kind of difficulty that is in that case, that we cannot even frame words. Every time we start, we arrest those words in our throat because they just don't seem adequate to the depth of the problem. They don't seem adequate to the depth of the difficulty. And yet, it is at such times as that we want to remember the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, where he tells us that the Spirit helps our infirmities with groanings, are you ready? Too deep for words. There are times where we may not be able to frame propositionally the things that we want to pray about, although those propositions are there and have not yet been put into words. And the Spirit helps such infirmity in times like that. And He is an intercessor for us as we offer up our prayers unto the Lord. So it is a great comfort. So he cannot sleep, he cannot speak, he cannot frame his prayers. This may be because of a personal difficulty. It may be because of some great churchly difficulty, some persecution, being cast out. We don't know of what time David wrote this psalm. We know about when he wrote it and who he gave it to. What a wonderful thing, then, that we can open up to Psalm 77 in times of our own difficulties and find the same kinds of afflictions there and then the same kinds of comforts. So, as he describes, notice his method. He is trying to pray. He is trying to inquire of the Lord. He cannot sleep and he cannot speak, but notice that doesn't stop him from doing several things. Verse 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. And so he remembers times before when he was in straits and how he handled them and the success he had from before. So he remembers his prior devotional acts in times of affliction, and they bring him comfort. This is a tool to put in our hands, that there are times when we may not be able to figure out what's going on right now, but in those times we can remember what God did before and take comfort in that. Then he asks several rhetorical questions. And these are questions that, notice, it is not a sin in the psalmist to ask. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? And hath he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? Notice he doesn't stop with one question. There are several questions there. This is a deep valley in which the psalmist finds himself. Of course, we sort of heard that in verse 1, didn't we? Where his request is urgent. It is doubled. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Well, there is a confidence there of his hearing. All right, so now we have that famous Selah there at the end of verse 9, which tells us to stop, meditate, think upon these things, and get ready for something that's coming. And what is coming? Look at verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old, and I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. So notice what the psalmist does. And there is a great well, there's a progression of things here that we want to see. First of all, we have a confession. This is my infirmity. To ask questions such as these, this is my own infirmity. And that infirmity may be a soul infirmity. It may be a perception infirmity, right? At first, we may hear him say, this is my infirmity because I can't see the good things that God is doing even in the midst of my affliction. I can't even see them. I don't perceive that there's something good going on. All I can see is the negative. That's an infirmity in me, David says. Secondly, he says, this is my infirmity, probably because he has allowed the outward circumstances of his life to assault his faith. And so we see an infirmity in his faith and confidence in God. Secondly, that's the second kind of infirmity we see here. But then note also, he says, what his resolution is. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Now, whenever you hear about the right hand of God, you want to hear his saving strength. That's what his right hand is all about in Scripture. It is his saving strength, not just his strength, but his saving strength on behalf of his people. And that could be at the casting down of their enemies or the raising them up out of their infirmities, either way. And so he says, then, I will remember. Now, notice those are in italics here. And so literally the Hebrew reads like this. Then I said, this is the years of the right hand of the Most High. Or sorry, this is my infirmity, the years of the right hand of the Most High. And then notice I will remember immediately after that. And so what your authorized version translators have done is they've taken that verb, I will remember, and they've put that not only after but before. And that is, I think, a good way to understand what David says here. So I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. The reason he says years is we want to talk about the duration of it. It's not just a moment. It's years. God has ever been faithful to his people. Secondly, I will remember his saving strength in those years. Thirdly, I will remember the works of the Lord. Notice, I'll remember them past and I'll remember them present. I will remember the works of the Lord, thy wonders of old, and I will meditate on all thy work and talk of thy doings. So, first of all, I will remember the saving strength. Well, let's start with the beginning. I will confess my own infirmity. Then I will change my perspective. I'm going to make a willful decision here to change my perspective. And instead of focusing on the afflictions, I'm going to focus on the saving strength of God, his wonders of old that he has done, and his current works. And so notice the progression that David undergoes here for the sake of his own comfort. All right, so then he will talk about the particular, if you will, locus, the place of those encouragements. Notice, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Now, he's going to say a little bit later, thy way is in the sea as well. But where does he start? He starts in the sanctuary. The most important thing that David desires with regard to his comfort is what goes on in the sanctuary when the high priest enters into the holiest of all with blood not his own and sprinkles that blood seven times on the mercy seat and makes atonement for the people of God, sacramentally pointing to Christ. David says, thy way is in the sanctuary. This is where I'll find my greatest comfort. You can be delivered from every earthly affliction. But if you don't have the comfort of your sins being satisfied for, you have no real comfort at all. Thy way is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Notice there, we find the declaration of that strength, of that saving strength of God among the people. And where do we find it most particularly? Thy way is in the sanctuary. All right, so now David will turn back. Notice that these are the great works of God that are going on today. And now he's going to turn back to the works of God in the past. And I know I sound like a broken record here when I say this, but listen to what David is doing. It's a chiastic structure. What does David do? He says, first of all, I'm going to remember my infirmities. Then I'm going to remember the consistent saving strength of God. I'm going to remember it of old, and I'm going to remember it now. Now thy way is in the sanctuary. This is ongoing today, where we have the Day of Atonement, we have the sacrifices, we have all those things where God proclaims his saving strength. Those are the works now. And now we're going to think of those signal acts of the past. And so he goes, confession, past works, present works. Then he goes to present works, past works. And so now he's going back to remembering of old those works of God, those saving works. And of course, what he's doing is he's taking us back to the Red Sea. So keep in mind that David is speaking of events that took place some 500 years before he was born, or 450 years or so before he was born, and takes comfort in them. So then, thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. And notice that he uses the word redeemed. This is a redemption that he's talking about. Buying them up, paying a price for them. This is pointing also to the Lord Jesus Christ, the true firstborn. Verses 16 and 17 and 18 and 19 and 20 then, through the end of the passage, speak of that great and signal act of redemption in the Old Testament, which often stands as a type of our spiritual redemption in Christ. And so the waters saw thee, and they were afraid. The depths were troubled. That is, what did they do? They went back. Right? They were afraid. This is a metaphor for saying how the waters stood up to get out of the way of God as he led his people through the sea. And notice what David says here. And this is so very important for us. He says, thy way is in the sea. That is, it is through the afflictions, not around them, not above them, not over them. No, thy way is in the sea. We follow thee, Lord, through the depths. We don't give up hope, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Even though the waters heap up on every side, the earth trembles and shakes, the lightnings lighten the world. No, thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou ledest thy people like a flock. And so we go back to where we began then, right? David is not saying, oh Lord, I desire deliverance out of my afflictions. No, I desire instead to remember thy great works of old and to follow thee through the sea, wherever thou dost lead, because that is where thy way is. So first he says, thy way is in the sanctuary, to speak of those spiritual realities. And then he says, thy way is in the sea, to speak of those temporal afflictions that in no way undo those spiritual deliverances. Thus ends the reading then of Psalm 77.